call the caucus, council caucus of the August 10th, City of Independence Council meeting order. Please call the roll.
Grindel?
Here.
Kapusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Waverka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here. Good, we're all here and welcome everyone. It's good to see a lot of you at the Home Days, which I thought was a, the new venue was a big hit, a big success, at least in my eyes. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed the programming, except the rain, but thank goodness I was on a resting here at home, so I didn't get soaked or anything. But I think Mayor, you and your staff and everyone that worked on the Home Days did a tremendous job. And we owe a great debt of gratitude to you from us for the wonderful work that they did. And it's exciting. I know that you're going to vet out and have maybe a send out surveys, but I'm hoping that that'll become a new tradition that we hold up there, because the possibilities is endless having it at that venue. I don't know if anybody else on council have any words, or Mayor, would you like to speak on that?
All the feedback I got was positive. The only one was they had trouble getting the pizzas to the pizza booth, but everybody was very positive from anyone else that spoke to me about it.
And Dale, your auto show went off very well?
Yeah, and about 60 vehicles. So yeah,
wonderful, very good. And the reunion, your class reunion was a big hit too, I hope.
We had nearly 60 classmates, which out of a class of about 155, 50 plus 1 year later, I thought was fantastic.
Very good, very good. That's what Home Days is all about: community, former members of the community, and getting everybody together to celebrate the tremendous city that we. A lot of us were born and raised and continue to live our lives in. So, but I guess we need to get going. We have a second reading legislation. First piece of legislation, actually the only one on second reading, is ordinance number 2021-56. It's an ordinance establishing the Home Improvement Assessment Public-Private Partnership Program for the purpose of assisting city residents to maintain and assure properties remain in compliance with the codified ordinances, including but not limited to for stormwater management, creek maintenance, sewer maintenance, and exterior maintenance. And Jim, I know this was subject of your utilities meeting that was held recently, and the floor is yours to explain.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor and everybody. And again, yeah, that Home Days was fantastic. Great job on everybody's part there. This legislation has been around for a couple of months, and Utilities Committee heard testimony, made some surgery to it, and hopefully improved it to the point where we might be able to consider it for tonight. And so I really want to thank Mayor Kurtz. He offered some great suggestions, Engineer Ram, and of course Council Member Sinek and Waverka and Grindel, who had some good input on this, and some residents who also weighed in. So essentially what the program does is something that we did a little bit last year with one instance as kind of a trial, using the assessment part of the Ohio Revised Code under Section 727. And essentially what this would be to take any type of a larger scale maintenance type, as it relates usually to stormwater or drainage concerns that a resident may have on private property. And what happens sometimes in these situations is that, you know, there's either one property or multiple properties on a street or a subdivision or a neighborhood that are affected by some type of a water events consistently, and either it impacts either their property or other people's property, or could impact other multiple properties. And so what we've seen many times in the past is that the city is asked to look at these types of properties, and they're on private property, and it's not the responsibility of the city to be involved with that. So the approach that we've taken is to say that rather than just letting those properties go and having further erosion problems or creek problems or water stormwater drainage problems, what we would do is work with a resident to create a program based on the expertise that the rather substantial expertise that the city has, whether it be through the engineer's office or the service department or through vendors of the city, to help leverage those resources to help individuals to solve these problems. And it allows and again, we made some pretty big changes in the legislation from when last time we talked about it. It allows for the city to do work on public property, on private property, in conjunction with the individual. There'd be no harm, the city would be held harmless and the vendor would be held harmless. This is strictly the responsibility of the individual or the individuals in the case of multiple situations. And the city could come in and assist to find a vendor to help do the project. What we would do is potentially there could be a split of costs if there's some cost that the city would bear. And we thought that no more than, you know, one third of a project cost on private property would go towards something like this that the city would assume, but that we left it a little bit open that each individual situation does, you know, warrant, you know, a review, and that the individual could have the program paid for upfront by the taxpayers, and then if they can't afford to, you know, do the project all at one time, they could put it on their property tax as a on their property bill as an assessment, and they would pay back the city over time. So in this way, you don't defer big ticket projects or multiple home projects for years and potentially have more damage. The city can come in, assist you with the project. Each one of these would be the city administration would approach council and have to create an ordinance and justify each one of these. So it wouldn't be something that would just happen. We wouldn't have a budget. I think as Finance Director Blaze had put together in his memo, there's not a budget for this per se, but on really kind of an individual basis. And there sometimes are reasons why you would want to do something like this. And this council would carefully consider those, as well as the mayor. And we could be able to support something like that or not going forward in the future. So what we're hoping to do is solve problems that are hard for residents to solve on their own. And I think of individuals with fixed income, seniors who, you know, expending $20,000 or $15,000 or $50,000 to fix a flooding problem is just something that they can't do. But if they put it on their property bill over time, they can pay it out over time. So it's a kind of a service that the city would provide with skin in the game for the individual. So it's not just done, you know, privately. It would be a public-private partnership. And it would be something that could be immediately addressed and not cause further problems either for the homeowner or for the neighborhood in question. So again, that's kind of the big picture on the legislation. And I really want to thank the mayor for his work in putting this together. We did some brainstorming and some editing and amending of the legislation, and the legislation that you have before you is a product of that Utilities Committee meeting from the 27th of July.
Thank you, Jim. Any comments from council?
An emphasis on the number of people that might potentially be affected would definitely come to play. If it's a project that could affect a larger number of people, that could definitely influence how high it is on the list of to be reviewed.
Thank you, Dale. Tom, you had
Is there going to be any kind of not to exceed for the year, or is council going to make that decision as it comes up, or not to exceed by the job, or for instance, you know, because I'm sure, I mean, if somebody, you know, in upscale development can afford to spend a little bit more than somebody, you know, so there's always, you know, going to be a difference in cost of what somebody wants to do to improve their property. And is the city willing to negotiate that cost? You know, if it was $10,000 here, we're going to get $50,000 to this guy, just so we're even across the board. So it's a fair, it's a fair application of what we're going to charge people, you know, to do it together, you know.
You bring up a good point, Tom. We discussed that we have we need the flexibility to be able to do on a case-by-case basis to be fair because of various circumstances that could arise. So we didn't want to have it tied so tight that we'd have difficulty, you know, following. We wanted to have the flexibility to be able, council would be able as a whole, be able to examine each situation and see, based on a multitude of facts, that we go either go forward with it or not. So I think that's what we talked to, because you had some tighter parameters in there. We said that might not be such a good idea. You could have a person that lives in a $1 million home and they're barely getting by. They're one job loss of foreclosure, that, and you could have somebody that lives in a $200,000 house that has a $10 million bank account and everything. So it's not that we're going to ask for their financials, but we want the flexibility to be able to do the right thing, the fair thing for our residents.
Yeah, Tom raises some excellent points. I mean, those are really well thought of, and so as Dave said, that is in the legislation because we felt that there could be some circumstances that would dictate otherwise than having a strong, you know, hard stop on something. But I think the concept is that, you know, when we work up a budget on a yearly basis, that, you know, maybe there's a fund put together and we say, hey, we wouldn't do more than X amount of dollars worth of these types of projects. And then that could be a parameter for the mayor to work under. And obviously you can change those because it's a budget, but I mean, that would be, I think, address the big picture part of it. And yeah, you're right on the other part of it. We're looking at a case by case basis and just kind of saying it depends on the severity of the situation, not necessarily the individual circumstance, but those are really good points.
Mayor, do you have any comments?
No, I think we reviewed that. We had a thorough review at committee meeting. We had all had a chance to weigh in. Again, this emanates from the opportunity to put a number of people together that could not individually solve a problem, whether it be a drain water problem or some other neighborhood issue. So we would be the conduit that would actually allow us more flexibility to allow the residents to be solve a problem, but they can't do it on their own. So we're the conduit to accomplish some of these things that can't be done individually. So that's the genesis of the whole thing. And
I think
them
that,
pay for a vehicle for them to pay for it.
Yeah, and that project that was that Jim referred to from last year, I think is a good example of how it worked very well for the resident and for the city, and potential harm that could have been if nothing was done. So
right.
It did provide a vehicle to have much needed work done that helped a resident, but also helped his neighboring residents or potentially downstream. And we're able to do it at a cost that was affordable for this family. Plus, now we have all the records of that is in our engineering department, so they have a history and diagrams and everything else needed. So, Kathleen, I know you had a
question. Yes, I was just gonna say, having spent my career enmeshed in entitlement programs, my one caveat is that it's always difficult to determine where there's genuine need and where there's not, especially if you're not asking for any verification from people. Because people's perception of need, as we all know, is so, it changes so much that a person who truly is in need may not come, and those who are may. So I would be a little bit uncomfortable with that or concerned about that. But I did have another question, and that is, when I'm reading this, it says, but not limited to stormwater management, creek maintenance, sewer maintenance, and exterior maintenance. Are we still relating that exterior maintenance to something to do with the storm system, or is that any exterior maintenance to their property, house, and so forth?
Good question, Kathleen. And the intent is certainly for stormwater drainage. And if you want to remove that language, just to make sure that intent is that keeps the integrity of what we're talking about, we can certainly do that.
I think that might help for some clarification in the future for
those people. Or if I may, I'm not sure it hurts to leave it there, because if we have a situation that Kathleen's probably more familiar with the rest of us, where a couple or an elderly person can't maintain their property, this may be a vehicle to assist, but to have them pay for, or at least go on the duplicate to be recovered at some point, but it keeps it in, at least it cleans up the neighborhood.
That's what I was wondering, how broad that was meant to go.
Keep in mind, every individual situation would still have to go to council, so there'll be a number of possibilities to interact with and agree or disagree with the strategy at any individual situation.
And I'm glad, Jim, you put that 33% limitation on there. So at the very most, the city would contribute one third, but hopefully in most cases under that. Tom, you had a comment.
Well, I agree 100% with the exterior maintenance, but I would like to have that be a totally different piece of legislation. So we don't confuse having the city give one third, because I surely don't want to pay to have somebody's house remodeled.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'm comfortable with removing that if the chairman is.
But I don't want to forget about it. So I'd like to create another piece of legislation that is just for exterior maintenance, that we would help them solve the problem, but in return, pay 100% back to the city via whatever vehicle we decide to use. But, you know, I just don't want to get into this, you know, hey, gee, I want a front porch, you know, I'm going to call the city and, you know, they'll pay for a third of it. That,
sure.
That could get kind of crazy because...
Yeah, I don't think there's a hardship that the neighbors should share.
This is Greg. I think we have that provision for the exterior maintenance in Chapter 13. There's nothing precluding unless Mike disagrees. Normally, the way the procedure is, Mike sends them the building official sends them a violation letter of exterior maintenance, and if they fail to follow through, then we can go through the whole assessment process and fix it up. There's nothing precluding it from my reading, just off the top of my head listening to talk, from someone voluntarily agreeing that they violate that code and thus move forward with the process, and the city to take some of that on themselves. And, you know, the city has full right to assess 100% or some smaller amount that they deem appropriate.
No, so I think, Jim, the body of your legislation, it doesn't really refer to exterior maintenance. It pretty much pertains to the rest of the items that you have in your title.
Yeah, it does. And again, that was kind of the intent. I think for good purposes here, perhaps let's amend that title to take that word out, and then let's work on legislation if we do need it that could address those other types of issues on property. And again, the intent on that would be, you know, either catastrophic situations or the inability for someone to pay for something that would be not aesthetic per se, but more practical, that, you know, they got holes in the front of their house they need to, you know, plug up, and they haven't done it, and they got stone falling off, you know, maybe we could do something about it. But would that make people more comfortable?
I would like that, yeah.
Would we entertain a motion then just to remove the and exterior maintenance from the title to the legislation?
So moved.
And throughout the body of the ordinance.
Yeah, if there's any reference to that in the body of legislation. We got a motion by Dale Viverka. Any second? Second by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. That has been removed. So, Debbie, when we read by title, we'll eliminate those last three words. Just we'll put "and" before sewer maintenance.
Okay.
Dave, I just got a quick question for Jim.
Yes.
Unless I missed it in legislation, is there anything that states if the city chooses a contractor or if the homeowner chooses a contractor, if contractors start to hear that, oh, hey, the city's going to pay for a third of it, and they're like, well, if they're going to pay a third, we can up the price of it, you know, is there a way of, you know, stating to the homeowner that, you know, we will be partnerships, but, you know, we give you a list of a couple of contractors that we trust, or they're not going to try to, you know, take advantage of a, you know, a homeowner, and because they know we're going to pay for part of it?
That's a good question, Chris. I think what we had always envisioned was that the city would help somebody to identify someone with the expertise to do that. And that, you know, by and large, we work with people on these types of projects anyway who are under contract, and we might be able to extend city pricing to the private homeowner. And I think that was what we had all discussed, although the legislation doesn't stipulate that. So, Mayor, what do you think? Is that something we should address?
No, I think it's important that, that's what we had talked about. How we want to implement it is, or put it together, is it's important everybody takes a, participates in that.
You could ask for a minimum of three bids. if they're working within the city limits or not. I mean, at least that gets us somewhere that, you know, if one guy's crazily out of line, we can look at it, at least, you know.
Yeah. You can look at it the other way. It's like, if a homeowner says, well, I'll use my contractor, what if it's a friend and, you know, say the price is $8,000 and, you know, the city says, okay, we're going to pay $3,000 for it, but that's what God was only $3,000. The city ends up paying the whole thing. I just want to make sure that we're covered 100%.
Last year, didn't we use the under contract that the company that we use, and we got pricing from them? Was that the case?
Right. That's exactly what we did. We had those two competitive bids from two of our contractors.
And I think if Greg O'Brien could weigh in, I think because of the fact that the city's doing this on behalf of a homeowner, that's inherently how we would have to do it, correct?
I mean, based upon the history of council wanting three proposals, if it doesn't go out for public bid, yes. But this ordinance is actually designed for the administration to figure out kind of the in the weeds types of procedures. I will tell you that even if there's no other procedure set forward, if the city got the impression, there's a lot of people on council that are in the trade, so they would know that it's a high bid. There's no obligation for the city to move forward with this. So,
right.
I envision that if nothing else, the city's going to work with a homeowner, but right up to the last minute of signing whatever needs to be signed, the city can back out and say, you know, this is just not feasible or not practical, or this is someone taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah. Jim, I like the way, I mean, the broad framework that you have this legislation at now, and then after we have maybe one, two, or three, you know, we can learn as we go along that if we need to make some restrictions, we will tinker with it. That is still like a work in progress.
Right. So it's functional. Chris, does that satisfy your concern?
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, Jim. Mm-hmm.
So, Council, any other comments before we'll vote on that legislation this evening?
Yep.
Very good. We'll take a vote on that this evening. We move on now to midway through page two, legislation on first reading. And the first piece of legislation is ordinance number 2021-105. This is an ordinance authorizing, there's a companion, 106 is the companion. And 105 is the ordinance authorizing the city to enter into an agreement to purchase real property owned by Envision Development 1, LLC, located adjacent to Rockside Woods Boulevard North, and declare an emergency. It's for an amount not to exceed $1,610,000, and to expend an additional amount of public funds not to exceed $10,000. Now, the companion legislation is ordinance number 2021-106. This is an ordinance authorizing the city to enter into an agreement with Rockside Woods Visibility, LLC, to sell real property owned by, it's the same real property, owned by the city located adjacent to Rockside Woods Boulevard North, and declaring emergency, and the sale price from the city to Rockside Woods Visibility, LLC is $1.7 million with not to exceed and with an amount of $2,500 for other costs and everything. Greg, I know that we received, it wasn't the final product as far as the contract goes and everything. Any further, I was almost expecting that we might get, you know, the finished product today or something closer to that, or anything further on that.
Yeah, about 8 minutes before we came on air, we just got a turn from one of the attorneys for, I opened up, was looking at, it's either Envision or...
it's from Envision.
Envision, so I looked it over, I scanned it, I did not look at it in great detail. Nothing jumped out at me. There were some actually comments I was surprised, because those usually come at the beginning, but nothing jumped out, nothing jumped out.
I see. Now, is this something that we need to approve tonight, or is there going to be, should we wait till the finished product that we're able to read the contract? I don't know how many changes or variants are going to be introduced between now and the finished product, but.
Well, let me say this to you, Vice Mayor, which of course you'd understand, most people would understand, but from a legal standpoint, you know, the agreements as you have them are studded in. I mean, the material terms are not going to change. There may be some subtle things back and forth, but the material terms that you have in those draft documents is not going to substantially change. But I will defer to Jess whether or not there's an urgency to get these passed approval today.
I think just from a timing standpoint, Rockside Woods Visibility and their lead tenant would like to have some forward progress, knowing that once we do have approval, that we can move forward and execute the purchase agreements. So as you guys will remember, these two are tied to the project in Rockside Woods Visibility. Rockside Woods Boulevard North. It is for the CBIZ project. The reason why there are two pieces of legislation is the city would acquire the one piece of land, which we were able to negotiate a better price than what the private market would be able to do. And the reason for that is that one of the components of the purchase from Envision is also a donation component, because they are donating the land to a portion of the land to a government agency, they're able to use that as a tax write-off, which had they gone directly to Rockside Woods Visibility, that would not have been able to happen. So again, we're purchasing the land for 1.61. We are selling that same piece of property simultaneously to Rockside Woods Visibility for 1.7 million.
And I think everybody in council was familiar with the generalities of it. I guess our concern is that there's nothing, you know, after we approve it, there's something slipped in that, you know, we weren't aware of. And, but I have full faith in you, Greg, as our attorney, as our law, head of legal man, that you're going.
I'll give this representation to you, Vice Mayor of the Council. If there's any material term that's changed, I will reach out to City Council. And then,
and if you'd like, we could sort of direct the final product to council to review before I sign it. I don't know.
That is fine as well. I can do what
that'd
I
be fine
the
too.
Other night. Yeah.
I think, Greg, that would give a comfort level to the council members that they, you know, there's nothing gets slipped in that that we're not aware of, or since it's not a finished contract that we're looking at. But I do trust Greg.
Council's comfortable with that. I'm very comfortable with that, law director. And once we have it ready for signature, council can send it out to everyone, and if they have any questions, so you'll be able to address them.
Yeah, and I'll continue to I'll provide you a red line so you don't have to reread the entire contract. You can see the changes. I tried to do that with this turn, even though you didn't see the original one, you just saw what the parties were negotiating over.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Yes, Ken.
You had a question. So section 2C of the purchase agreement seems to make some sort of reference to a potential adjustment to the purchase price based on some linkage to an appraisal that I don't think we have, or what. Can you speak to that, what this potential purchase price adjustment about is about?
I don't have it pulled up. I can pull it up, but there was some discussion early on without, you know, I know it's a public meeting, but the ultimate obligation on the city is to pay the 1.610. There were some discussions where the city, because appraisals, if they come in higher, that the city may have to up its offer. And Mayor, if this goes too far, you know, in the public domain, but the city felt comfortable at 1.610. And so the valuation is based upon a donation letter, which is supported by the fair market value of a certified appraiser. And so whatever that is.
They're going to submit to us. I really don't care what they submit. They're responsible for that. All I know is we're only going to pay the 1.610.
One of the things that you did receive was a broker's letter of value, and that relates back to a $2.2 million price.
I believe we received that letter today.
Council should have got that, I think. Or,
yeah, we did, Mayor.
Yeah, so hopefully, Councilman Senek, I sent you the version where we revised that section out, because on a couple of turns back and forth, there was some desire by the owner to increase the purchase price. The mayor was perfectly very clear that the purchase price was going to stay the same. The donation letter, if it's supported, but the mayor's correct, and I don't need to tell you, if the IRS determines that the donation is not satisfactory, they're not going to call the city up by any means. They're going to call the former owner up who took the deduction.
So I've got a project visibility purchase and sale agreement envision draft 72721 that has this paragraph 2C in it that seems to a floor purchase price of not less than $1,610,000 could go up according to this paragraph 2C, and frankly,
let me make it clear we're paying 1.610.
Mayor, I take you at your word, but I really have the finished documents.
Or anything else.
I'd really rather have the finished documents, and I'm not voting on this complex agreement that's a bunch of draft documents. I just think that's bad form for us to rush this through without actually reading and understanding fully what we're consenting to.
No problem. I'll call a special council meeting.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And, you know,
no problem.
The outline that's laid out here is perfect. It's just what, you know, from what I've read of it, is what we were told about previously, so there's no surprises there, but there's so many drafts and, you know, things to be determined later that I just don't think it's good form personally for council to vote on it, because it's just too many loose ends.
If council's comfortable with calling a special meeting as soon as we have everything in final form, just everybody agrees to that, then I'm absolutely comfortable with that. We can do it. As long as we agree, we'll do a Zoom meeting. When in final form and presented to the city council, we will call a meeting, and then you can just vote on it. It's the same effect that we'll have today. How's that?
Oh, that sounds good, Mayor. I think
you're comfortable with that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I believe a special meeting is a good idea, because obviously with 16 hours of notice, it's a very, very short leash to make a decision. Even though I believe we all support the program, we support the direction we're going, but it would make sense to be able to have document in hand with all those little spaces filled in, and then our comfort level would be greatly increased, at least mine would be.
I'd say, you know, the lawyers, but I don't want to get anybody offended today, so I'm not going to. Finance director has a comment.
I think this will hopefully get the attorneys together that, hey, let's get this done so we get it approved. They don't have a carte blanche that they can keep working on for the next three weeks or so, and we've approved it, but we haven't really approved the final version. So what, we'll keep it on first reading this evening, and then this.
Vice Mayor, the finance director had a question.
Yes, Vern.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Mayor, I don't know if anybody on council really needs to take the mayor's or the economic development director's, mine, Greg O'Brien's word for it. The way I'm reading it, ordinance 2021-105 is just authorizing us to purchase the property for $1.61 million. And if you want to insert the language in there, the wording not to exceed 1.161, and then 2021-106 says that we're going to sell it in an amount not less than $1.7 million. That's really all that the administration is asking for council's approval of, to buy a piece of property for $1.61 million. And turn around and resell it for $1.7 million. I'm not understanding the complication of that.
But what you're saying, Vern, is we're not approving the contract itself. We're just approving the parameters of the transactions.
Correct. Yeah, the finance director has a very valid point. If the city were to pass the ordinance as it stands before city council, other than the additional closing costs in there, when you add those two, that's the extent of their authority. If the seller of the property came back and said, you know what, I want to sell it for 1.8 because the fair market value came in higher, the city would have to come, the mayor would have to come back to you all anyways. It doesn't have authority. Anything beyond 1.610 plus the small nominal amount you're giving the city to pay in its share of the closing costs.
Good point, because really, who reads the contract? I mean, you're authorizing the law director and the mayor to execute a contract with these parameters, not to exceed that price. So, I mean, I'm open either way. We just want to keep this ball moving, and there's nothing going to change.
Personally, I'm comfortable with us having those financial parameters put in and with what Law Director O'Brien had indicated, which was if anything material was to change, he would notify us of that. And then Mayor also saying we could have a look-see at the contracts too, but I'm comfortable.
Yeah, Councilperson Sedek, you're not going crazy. I mean, this is unfortunately a version, two versions ago. When I asked for a copy, this is not the most current version that I have in front of me. That was the language proposed that I explained to you a few minutes ago. I intimated a few minutes ago where the property owner wanted to increase the property value. It's not that way.
The documents council received this morning was not the most current, or maybe it was yesterday morning, but it was not the most current version of these agreements.
No, because we've been working fairly well. The documents we have gone through a revision since that time.
It just, you know, it's my nature, but slow and right is better than fast and wrong. And you know, council has an opportunity to view these details. And if you vote for this now, then we're just done. And there's no further involvement in it, which, okay, you can take that approach. I don't think it's the right one, but, you know, slow and right is better than fast and wrong. So if you have to have a special meeting, let's. All these documents are in place. I just think that's a better approach.
But by what
well,
we're,
we can,
by what
we can
we're
put them on first reading and then just hold them until we have a special set. And that way, if someone can't make it, they're not going to be unharshly, because they can't be held against them if they're not available for a special meeting, as long as we have a quorum.
At the very least, Mayor, it will motivate the other attorneys to get back to us quicker.
Yeah. Are you comfortable everybody just leaving it on first reading then?
I'm comfortable with that, Mayor. Leave it on first reading, and then when the finished product is ready, we could review it and then vote on it.
And Greg, that motivates that down the ball's in your court, legal court, to get it done.
Yep.
Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yes.
Yes.
As long as we don't send the negative vibe to all the participants.
No. It's going to be on first reading. They'll know there's progress, but there's a little more tweaking, but that's appropriate. I'm comfortable with that.
I think they'll know that we're doing our job as oversight.
Yeah. They know that these documents are still in work, and we've been asking them to finalize the documents.
So Jess, here's what we're going to do. We're going to, if it's okay with council, we'll put it on first reading, and then as soon as we have the final documents, we will pass them up to council. And then we'll call a special council meeting and get it approved. How's that?
Fantastic.
That sounds excellent.
Let's just do that. That'd be I'm more comfortable. Everybody should be comfortable with that. Okay, we'll do that for 105 and 106?
That is correct, Mayor. Thank you.
Good. It shows progress. Good.
Let me take my notes here and then move on to page 3 of the agenda. And that is ordinance number 2021-107. It's an ordinance authorizing the mayor to renew the city's agreement with MediCount Management Inc. for billing services for emergency medical services. Is Steve Riga with us?
Yes, I'm here.
So, Stephen, I will give you the floor because you had written the memo to us and you have the best knowledge of everybody to discuss this.
MediCount Management is a company that we work with that does our billing services. So as we send them our call information, they reach out and send out, they analyze what needs to be billed and how it needs to be billed, and they send it out and then collect those fees, and at the end they pay us. So there are several companies out there that do this kind of work. We've been with MediCount for about 9 years now. This is a renewal of a 4-year agreement. We just came out of a 4-year agreement. The difference in this one is there's a slight 0.25% increase. I did reach out and talk to several other EMS billing companies, comparing what they have to offer in terms of technology for collecting the necessary information to do the billing, how they do that, and how they process it and get it completed. Having looked at that, I think MediCount Management still is kind of a leader in this area. And they definitely seem to have a technological advantage because we do have, I like it very much, the immediate access to running reports. When I need to, I can log in and do that. Some of the other companies don't offer that. Looking also at fees, some of the companies might be a little bit lower, but then they tack on credit card fees and check fees that could possibly they pass those through to us. So all in all, I think MediCount has done a great job for us, and the slight change is really, I think, also beneficial to us because they increased some of their technology in collecting these things. So does anybody have any questions about that?
And see, this is the first time they've raised their rate in all the years we've had them. Is that correct?
Correct. We've been at 7% for 9 years.
That's not unreasonable. That 0.25% is not unreasonable at all. Any questions for Steve? Kathleen?
I have one really. Steve, there was a thing there about, I think it was page 32, a SNF transports. Do we use our vehicle for skilled nursing transports for our residents?
We do not. We'll do, occasionally we'll get transports from a skilled facility to home or from home to a skilled facility, and we're allowed to bill those. We don't do facility-to-facility transports. And even when we do those transports to another facility, it has to have certain elements, a doctor's prescription to do it, that it's supposed to be done. But some of those requirements are Medicare requirements. And quite frankly, we get maybe 3 or 4 a year that we do like that. So it's not really something that we do at all.
So when I heard you say from a SNF to home, so in that scenario, would not have Medicare coverage. Medicare would not be covering them to come back to home with an ambulance. So would
Medicare is constantly changing what they'll pay for. It will allow certain transports if it's medically necessary, and that's kind of a constantly evolving thing with Medicare.
Yeah, I've never had them approve a transport home, so I'm real interested in that. I'll look into that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Any other questions of Stephen? Any opposition to having this on the consent agenda? Because I think, when is the new period start this month?
Well, we're kind of in that period where they're continuing their services, like a period of time where there's an overlap, so it'll continue right on through.
Okay, but it's good to get this approved. I don't think there'll be anything coming up between now and September. So we'll put this on the consent agenda.
I would prefer it not to be on the consent agenda, if possible.
Not? Okay, but we'll vote on that this evening.
Understood.
Okay, Jim. All right, thank you, Stephen. Ordinance number 2021-108 is ordinance amending Chapter 13 of the Building Code of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence to reduce residential construction-related nuisances and restrict noise. Jim and Chris.
Yeah, I think with respect to this one, this was just a simple numbering. I think we already had a 1305.13, and we are making this 1305.14. Is that correct, Greg?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so there's no policy changes here, just for purposes of our legal, making it fair. It would not supersede the existing 13. This is a new section 14.
Okay.
Less to this than meets the eye.
I see. Any questions of Jim on this or the law director? We'll put this on the consent agenda this evening. Any opposition? Okay, Debbie, we'll put this on the consent agenda. Ordinance number 2021-109 is ordinance amending Chapter 618 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence relating to animals and keeping chickens. And Tom, I think.
So, yeah, I brought this back. I mean, I think Kathleen had brought this up about 3 or 4 years ago, and it kind of went nowhere, and then the problem didn't go away. So we still have some residents in town who I guess they're not breaking the law because there is no law, but they don't have respect for the neighbor. So all I'm trying to do here is bring a little, I don't even know what you call it, respect, try to keep things in an orderly fashion if you want to have chickens. In no way, shape, or form do I want to hurt anybody who has chickens, but we have to have some kind of regulations. 34 chickens on a half acre a lot, it just don't work in any patterns. I'm sorry. And if somebody feels like that's bad, I'm sorry, but I mean, to me, that's just not logical. One thing I would like to bring up on section 618.25C, as I was schooled this home day weekend, of why people have chickens in the first place. And a lot of them don't want to eat chickens that are kept in a pen that you buy from a store. So C says we shall keep all the chickens in an enclosed or fenced area, such as a coop or a run, at all times. I don't know. It's up to council if we want to take that out and rephrase it saying keep them in their yard, but they don't want to have them cooped in. So if you want to fence in the yard, or, you know, I don't know how you chain it, or have a chicken stay in your yard without a fence, but I think you guys know where I'm getting at. But I mean, that's the reason why most of these people have chickens, because, you know, it's that whole protect the animal, and, you know, you don't want to eat a kept chicken, I guess, I don't know.
Or a kept, they call a free-range chicken?
A free-range chicken, exactly right. Yeah. And that's why they have them. So, I don't know, Mike, give me your 2 cents on that, but I think if we get this ordinance passed, it's going to help us with a lot of the offenders, which... And I don't think that the chicken, keeping them in a run or a coop, is going to hurt us, as long as we say you got to keep them in their yard.
Before Mike chimes in, I think the removal of run and coop, because if you did have them in your entire yard was fenced, then you would be in compliance with this ordinance, even though they're roaming around your backyard. But
I agree, but the number of chickens is the big issue here. So everybody who has chickens has a coop, because if not, the wildlife would just destroy the chickens. So.
Well, Tom, are you planning to have, like, are we going to have this on first reading and have?
Well, I just don't want it to go on. And, I mean, I'll pass it the way it is right now. I'm just thinking of why these people have these chickens in the first place, and that they don't want to eat eggs from a kept chicken.
I think Greg has a valid point as far as if we just remove that and just keep it in a closed or fenced area and remove this, such as a coop or run, that would keep them in the yard. If you have a fence around a perimeter of your property, your chickens would be in your property. They wouldn't be wandering onto the neighbors. That's the biggest complaint that we have, is that the chickens are wandering around on neighbors' properties, and they just don't want that problem, that issue.
Jim.
Mr. Vice Mayor, thanks. I think that this is, the last time we dealt with this, we got some feedback from some of the owners as well as from some of the neighbors. Do you think it would make some sense to refer this to safety committee so that we could have a little bit more robust discussion on it?
I've been out at safety committee already. I mean, what's there more to vent? I mean, I don't know where we're going to go. It's just going to, you know, you can find more reasons not to have this legislation than to have it, but that's not helping the people who are, you know, who it's affecting. I mean, the two or three people that, you know, don't do it the right way or are not realistic about the situation, I don't really care if I hurt them or not, because they have no consideration for their neighbor. I mean, the one in particular, I mean, she's got 34 chickens that's right next to somebody's bedroom window. I mean, the poor girl can't even sleep at night because of the stench. So we want to let it go, you know, keep letting it go and go and go. I'd rather catch a little grief from a couple of people who, you know, want to change it a little bit here and there. But the overall aspect of why I'm doing this is to help people. I'm not here to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help a few people, that's all.
Chris, I know you had some comments.
So just from like past experience and with my uncle online, he can, you know, second my story, but before my uncle passed, he had chickens down on the farm in Valley View, and I had to take care of them, and it was, what I think a lot of people don't realize, things that come with having chickens and everything that go, you know, I had to deal with rats, mice, weasels, you name any type of rodent that goes after that type of, you know, corn that they're fed, stuff like that, it draws a problem to all the surrounding neighbors as well. I'm like Tommy, I don't want to hold people from having freaking out chickens and have their own eggs and stuff like that, but there are quite a bit of things that come with it that neighbors will have to deal with. So having the parameters will help, I would hope, keep down on the road problems that, you know, other people can have if they have the chicken.
As far as personally, so I don't have any problem with the legislation. I just would think that we put on first reading, maybe allow time if anybody has any comments or problems, at least give them a month's time to bring those problems up, and then we vote on it next month, or have it for a committee meeting. But because I know last time it seemed like there were a number of people that showed up at council chambers to discuss potential legislation, and that, and they were very very emotional about it, I guess, with regards to their chickens. So I'm not in the opposition, Tom, at all. I agree with the legislation, but I think just to give the chicken owners a chance to chime in and have a chance to maybe embellish or improve the legislation, it wouldn't hurt, and then we can vote on it in September.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's just giving it, in fairness, I think, to give an opportunity. Then if they complain like in October of that, then they had their chance to at least bring some points to us and everything. So is council in agreement to that, just keep on first reading and then voting on next month? Kathleen?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I just hope that the same thing doesn't happen as happened, as Tom said a few years ago when we brought it up, and we seemed to have enough support in council, and then it just fizzled. And
yeah, for some reason it never made it to a vote and everything. Yes, so
and I do agree that it will probably incite some people, but I think we are here for trying to do what's best for the majority of people. So
that's correct. Any other comments on this, Ken?
Yeah, I just want to comment that, you know, I completely agree with the need to mitigate nuisances throughout the city whenever, wherever we can, and to the extent that somebody's got a chicken coop that interferes with their neighbor's quiet enjoyment of their property, that's a problem that government should seek to find a solution to. But what I am troubled most by in this legislation is the absolute maximum of six chickens. Any government can tell a citizen they can own only six chickens, can also tell a citizen they're only allowed to own two cars or have X dollars in their bank account or only have two children. This is just un-American to put that kind of restriction on a person's personal property rights to say, you may not own any more than X number of anything. There ought to be a way to solve this problem that doesn't essentially result in the government confiscating a person's private property. So what's going to happen to this person who has 34 chickens? Is the city going to walk in there and take away 28 of them? That obviously can't and shouldn't happen. So I'm just most troubled by that absolute limit of six, because I think that's un-American and unconstitutional.
So just to respond real quick, it's six chickens per half acre. And if anyone can tell me that they can keep 34 chickens in a half acre and make it livable for neighbors or themselves, please do so, because I'd love to see them do that. And I would probably argue it to the bitter end. And if you have more than a half acre, you can have more chickens. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you have the space that would house more of them, you're more than welcome to have it. It's like saying, I want to have 30 cars in my yard, but I have a two-car garage. Just not right. So, that's where I'm coming from with the six chickens. So, why do you need more than six chickens if there's three people living in the house? How many eggs can you eat a freaking day? I don't know. I'm just being reasonable. So, And I understand where you're coming from, Councilman Sinnott. I don't want to impose, you know, our powers on anybody, but I'm just trying to be realistic. And, you know, if people can't see that, then shame on them. But I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to be realistic about it.
Any other comments? Very good. Well, we will keep this on first reading and vote on it during the September meeting. And if there's any, I guess let Tom know if there's anybody that has an idea that could improve this legislation, I'd let, you know, let Tom know we can, between this month and next month, we can possibly tinker with it. There definitely is a need for that. We have to find the right balance. Ordinance number 2021-110. This one, unfortunately, we see quite often. It's an ordinance authorizing an increase in the amount of funds allocated to the retention of Mazanek, Raskin, and Ryder Company, LPA, for professional legal services. And this is for an amount not to exceed $5,300, bringing the total now to $108,339.47. And I do know that the finance director needs approval in order to expend these funds. I know it's not going to be on the consent agenda either. We'll vote on that this evening. Anybody have comments regarding this? Yes, Kathleen.
Yeah, it's the same one that I make every time, and none of us, I'm sure, takes pleasure in seeing these funds go up, but I think we have to just keep remembering that this was for an individual performing a duty for the city, and it was in that professional duty that we are making this this expenditure of city funds. And I think that any one of us would probably want the same thing done for us if we were sued while we were performing in our performance of city duties. So I just wanted to reiterate that.
Thank you, Kathleen. Tom.
So I agree 100%, and I don't know how much we can talk about the legal aspect of what's happening here, but so I'm going to keep my mouth quiet. But I mean, as the public can see, I vote no on this every time, and I think there's a reason, a good reason behind my vote, and I don't know if I'm legally allowed to say it in public or not, so I'm going to hold it till when this is all over, and I'll explain why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I just don't feel that it helps the outcome of the situation.
Thank you, Tom. Any other comments from council? Very good. We'll vote on that this evening. Ordinance number 2021-111. This ordinance accepting the proposal of CBIZ Insurance Services, Inc. for professional insurance broker services for the purchase of property, inland marine, crime, and automobile insurance for the city. Authorizing the mayor, I guess, to enter into an agreement with CBIZ for an amount not to exceed $10,000 for the year. And I think they've kept their rates at the same since 2014, I believe. Is Dennis online?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Vice Mayor. Hello, yes, you know, once again, CBIZ, it's the renewal of our contract with them to operate as a consultant for us. That is correct. They've held their fee since 2014 at $10,000. You know, CBIZ has always been responsive. They provide outstanding service, and you know, I consult with them, you know, a number of times throughout the year, and you know, I think that it's you know, it shows their commitment to the city by you know, maintaining that $10,000 fee as well. You know, and once again, it's just basically a renewal as a consultant.
Thank you, Dennis. Any questions or comments for Dennis? Jim?
Thank you. It's not for Dennis, but I guess it's for the law director. Just, you know, in light of the relationship that we have with CBIZ and the businesses, is there anything we need to, you know, do we need to have anything special the legislation talks about? I mean, we don't have a conflict of interest, I guess, is what I'm wondering. I mean, we're all in favor of trying to keep CBIZ in town and corporate headquarters and everything. Is there anything we need to worry about from that perspective?
No, not a thing.
Thank you. Okay. I just was curious.
Any other questions or comments regarding this issue? any opposition to having this on the consent agenda this evening? Seeing none, Debbie, we will put ordinance 2021-111 on the consent agenda. We'll move on now to page four, and we have ordinance number 2021-112. It's kind of related to this issue. It's an ordinance authorizing the retention of Travelers Property Casualty Company of America for insurance underwriting services for the purchase of property, automobile, inland marine equipment, crime and cyber insurance for 2021-2022 for an amount not to exceed $117,356. And it's for a period of time beginning with August 20th, 2021. I believe, Vern, I think you had in your notes that it did go up slightly, well, from last year's rate. Last year, I believe, the amount, I guess the premium is about 10% higher than last year.
That's correct, and I indicated that besides just general catastrophes that the insurance industry is citing, and they spread those costs amongst all of their customers, you also have the two Kindle buildings that we acquired last year, and that added some actual buildings that needed to be insured that weren't on the policy last year.
And is our fleet, we have a few more vehicles to have insured, I believe. I thought I read somewhere where even our fleet had increased by a few vehicles and everything too. So
that is my have those numbers exactly on the fleet.
Vice Mayor, typically what I'll do is on the renewal date, I'll give an updated vehicle inventory to Travelers and they will adjust accordingly. Okay. I don't believe our fleet has expanded at all. We just, you know, really came up with that.
Very good. Any other questions or comments on this? So Travelers now has had we've had Travelers for the last few years, I believe.
Dale.
Oh, Dale has it. Okay, Dale.
Yes, just a sidebar with the great job that Home Days, that the people in the golf carts were doing. Are the golf carts covered in that situation as personal property, or how is that fit?
Yes, they are. They are covered. That's what the inland marine portion of the liability insurance would be under. They would be under that area.
Inland marine.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? And we'll put this on the consent agenda this evening. Okay. We move to ordinance number 2021-113. This ordinance authorizing the mayor to accept the material terms of the One Ohio subdivision settlement pursuant to the One Ohio Memorandum of Understanding, consistent with the terms of the July 21st, 2021 National Opioid Settlement, and to sign the One Ohio subdivision participation form and declaring an emergency. And I believe, Vern, how much money would the city receive from this settlement?
It's listed in that very long document there, and we got this so recently this week. I am not sure if we get the first number, the 70% of, call it 44,000, or the 100%, 62,700. But either way, it's basically just saying, look, if we sign on to this, it's either $44,000 or $62,700 that we didn't have before, and nothing really for the law department or anything to do except we put the application in with the Ohio Attorney General's office, and they've already negotiated this out with the big drug companies.
So this is just flat. There's no expenses we have or anything. Just sign on, and now there's no restrictions on how these funds, they go in the general fund, or how do we utilize that? It should be earmarked for for a drug related program.
Now these will be general funds, and then there's other proceeds as settlement going to state funds for various special purpose directed activities.
And in reading the legislation, we need to approve that this evening because there's a deadline on this
Well, I mean, candidly, communities under 10,000, and, you know, there's a little bit of miscommunication because they're trying to, you know, we're just doing this out of the abundance of caution. There's a question whether or not our community, given its small size, comparatively speaking, whether we need to do this. There's no downside to do it. I communicate with a few law directors who are doing from similar communities. They're just out of the abundance of caution passing it. And the mayor already has the document. And I agree with the finance director. I read that document. It's the total combined around 100 grand over the course of 3 or 4 years. But
any questions from council? We'll put this on the consent agenda for this evening. We move to ordinance number 2021-114. This is an ordinance accepting the proposal of Energy Harbor for the purchase of electricity for all city properties for a period of 48 months, 4 years, at a fixed rate of, is that 4.5 cents per kilowatt hour?
Yes.
And then a total amount not to exceed $300,000 annually. I know Jim's out of your committee, but Dennis, I think you have some comments or...
Yes, Vice Mayor. And actually, we have Lance Bollinger from First Energy Advisors, you know, on the meeting today. I'll let Lance, you know, discuss it and answer any questions that might be out there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Hello, Lance.
Thank you.
The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, I started with Dennis here quite some time ago. I think what you got in front of you is a flexible agreement as far as your ability to add accounts or take accounts away if need be as your billing needs change. We've got a fixed price here for 48 months. We've got a rapidly changing energy market, moving up rapidly these days. Can't say that'll continue, but at the same time, will secure the city against any increases in those prices with this fixed price document. We took on initially 7 bidders for the business. The product is defined with the 5-day hold. We narrowed it down to the best 2 just this last week, and this price has been held since last Friday, and it'll be held for signature tomorrow. The product itself is fixed all in and will not change. Barring a change in a law, which hasn't occurred in some time in the business, but it's something you couldn't get away from no matter the supplier that you chose. I would also add this is a carbon-free product, not a green product, not a renewable product, but carbon-free, and ultimately being generated by Energy Harbor and their nuclear fleet. That was not a requirement. It's something they added in, sort of a sweetener, although they did have the best price either way. I'd have to take any questions you have at this time.
Yes, any questions for Lance? And this is...
Okay, it's not a question for Lance, it's just a question about our electric bills, I guess. With all the different lights we're putting in, and has our price come down to what we paid per month or per year? I mean, are we seeing a savings in all the money that we spent to put LED lights in the buildings? Overall cost coming down?
Overall cost would be a question I think Jim wants to answer. Well, I thought you raised your hand, Jim.
Yeah, I did. It's a good question. So I think if you look at the... if you take a look at the overall cost, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because we haven't had the, we have more buildings and everything else, but I think what we've discovered is that, in general, these more efficient lights are dramatically more efficient and less expensive. It's hard to equate that because we weren't doing an apples-to-apples comparison, and we have different amounts of buildings, and the pandemic changed how we use these buildings and everything else. So our only, what the committee looked at last year, 2 years ago now, was that, you know, the overall kilowatt cost, you know, is what it is. If you see that our usage of electricity is dramatically down, you won't see that reflected in the cost because of the mixture and change. but we know categorically that we are saving money by all the work that we've done up front on that.
I would add that the last contract that was in place up through late last year was at almost 4.9 cents, so this would be a little less than 10% improvement in rate per kilowatt hour for 4 years into the future.
I'm looking at the notes that the finance director sent us. It looked like we peaked, at least the overall cost in 2017 was $481,402, and then last year is down to $390,344. Again, Jim is not like comparing apples to apples, but the trend was it was $90,000 cheaper in 2020 as opposed to 2017. So that's a good trend, and hopefully this will allow us to continue that trend. And as we use measures that conserve energy, it'll continue to go down. Any other questions or comments, either for Lance or for Dennis? Any opposition to this legislation? Lance, thank you very much for your input. We will put this on the consent agenda for this evening.
Thank you so much. Best to you.
Thank you, and to you too. Finally, our last piece of legislation, and we still got 18 minutes before 7 o'clock, but it's...
Well, there's one more after this, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, so. Oh, very good. Well, then. I better speed it up again, Bear.
There is.
Orders number 2021-115 is an ordinance authorizing the hiring of J.F. Lentzowitz and Associates to provide labor relations, consulting, and negotiation services. Mayor, and I know the city has had, under your leadership, has had Joe Lentzowitz for at least over two decades, if not longer. I know that maybe four decades. I mean, wasn't back in the 80s Joe doing work for the city?
It could be that far back, at least three decades.
Because I remember in the 80s, I was on the school board, and we were talking with Joe. I think he did represent the school board in a negotiation with the non-teaching union.
Yeah, you're correct, Vice Mayor. The advantage of having Joe, he has a history. He knows the history. He's negotiated the history in many times. There have been a few times that missed an opportunity to negotiate. And, quite frankly, that was used against us in this last negotiation and with arbitration. So Joe getting back in tune with what we're doing, our challenges, our unions know what to expect, our employees know that they're going to be given an opportunity to create a document that's going to be sustainable and good for the employees, but also good for the city long term.
And Joe's not an attorney, right? He's not a lawyer.
No,
but that's why I think the rates are so much lower. I mean, more reasonable, obviously.
Again, I think that Joe does a great job. There's a lot of issues that come up during the course of a year that he addresses outside of negotiations, but they all come back to CBA. So interpreting the CBA, understanding the CBA, and then negotiating the CBA gives us the advantage of continuity, and that makes it easier for us to go to the future and make sure our employees are treated fairly, but the city's also protected too.
Thank you, Vern.
Go ahead.
Oh, you know, go ahead, Vern.
I know it's more than just the CBAs too, because I know he's also helped with the administration of Bureau of Workmen's Compensation claims too, and that whole system can be a nightmare even for a seasoned HR professional, but an HR person on staff for a municipality has to be a master of many things, whereas Joe is the negotiating side, but then when these employees get hurt and so forth, trying to meander through that bureaucracy. Right. Too. So I know his services come in handy in that field as well.
Thank you, Vern. Any questions for the mayor regarding Mr. Lentzowitz? Jim?
Yeah, just more of a statement. I think it's a prudent approach to have a retainer like this, because what you'd see is usually firms come in and say, well, you know, just give us X amount of dollars to negotiate. And they always go over that. So I think by having a monthly retainer, you know, it's a more realistic, and you can plan this thing out. None of them are ever under $60,000. I think this is a fair retainer. And I was just going to mention what Vern mentioned. I've seen him in action helping us to interpret other aspects of law and employment law, and I think that's really helpful for us as well. So I think this is a prudent approach. And the other thing I think is important is he and his private business does not represent, he always represents management and kind of looks at that from that perspective. And these are negotiations where you do have adversarial situations at times, and he tends to look at it from our perspective. And obviously we're all trying to be on the same team, but he understands what commas and semicolons mean in a contract, into our contractual agreement.
And what I like about Joe is history. Like the mayor, you mentioned that he's had a long history with the city. He knows the city better than most people that are affiliated with the city because of his long tenure and his knowledge of the contract. So definitely that's a big plus. Any other questions of the mayor regarding this?
Just a statement.
Kathleen. Okay, Tom, you go ahead first and then Kathleen.
Just a statement. I think we learned our lesson last time because we took a cheaper attorney and it ended up costing us a lot more in the long run. He was coming back every month and a half, asking for more money. So I think this is the way to go. It covers us. And Joe, I mean, as long as I've been on council, except for 4 years, I mean, Joe has been our guy. He's done an outstanding job. So that's my two cents.
Thank you, Tom. Kathleen, you had a...
Yeah, I just had a question, really. I know the legislation indicates the time frame of August 21 through August of 22, and it also indicates $5,000 a month. Is that why we feel no need to put in the not to exceed
$60,000? I never thought of it, quite frankly.
Not to exceed $60,000.
Pardon me?
In section 2, it does say not to exceed $60,000.
We have it printed right in our thing. That's where I guess I was referencing it from. But okay, as long as it's in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the section 3 of the contract, yeah.
Okay.
It probably would be here if we didn't have the comments to the legislation like we usually do.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Any opposition to having this on the consent agenda? Debbie will put this on the consent agenda for tonight.
Okay.
And Mayor, you said there's one more.
We had the senior snowplow discussion today about bidding out and how we're going to manage that going in the future. And as part of that process, the service director outlined concerns relative to the salt tarp that's deteriorated. And the purchasing coordinator has gotten pricing, and if I don't know if Ron or if Dennis want to speak to the thought of we have an opportunity to get something done immediately and then beat the rush for salt or beat the rush to get that repair made, or we can't repair it, it's just deteriorated beyond repair, and so it's a $30,000 expenditure, but this is maybe Dennis can talk specifically about what we need to do, and if council's comfortable, we'd like to get that approved so that we can get it fixed up sooner rather than later.
Yes, Mayor, I can say a couple words on this. It was something we looked into when former Service Director Karras was here, and we had met with a couple contractors. Initially we had hoped to repair it. Both, you know, contractors said that it, you know, it was beyond repair and it needed a full fabric replacement. Director McKinley and I also had some discussions regarding this, and the need to be able to protect our salt as it's, you know, sitting there, so we don't have other issues from it being exposed to the weather elements. We definitely have an urgent need. And we reached out to Greystone Construction, and they had presented us with a proposal, which unfortunately we just received it last week, and we didn't get it to council prior to this meeting. But the end result is Greystone is on the state contract site, so we aren't required to do the bidding because that is already done for us through that process. I did talk to Greystone today, and they said, you know, if we were able to get approval from council by the 15th of August, they could give us a tentative completion date of October 15th, which Director McKinley thought was, you know, very important, and it's, you know, he'd like to see something done before we take additional deliveries of, you know, salt. You know, and a little background on Greystone. Greystone has been in business for 20 years doing fabric coverings and roofs. They've worked for ODOT in many instances and surrounding communities. Finally, the funding is available for this project in the five-year capital plan. Funds were encumbered in 2016 for miscellaneous upgrades for service department buildings. With discussions with the finance director and Maggie, they both agreed that this would fall under that, you know, topic. You know, and Director McKinley, do you have anything you'd like to add to that, or?
I think you covered everything well. The biggest thing is time's of the essence here. You know, they have a minimum of 2 month time frame to build this. And that puts us into mid-October. If everything stays on track and on schedule, you know, a couple weeks, then they're into November right away. So it's definitely an urgent issue that I think we should discuss.
Chris, we've been talking about this issue since the springtime, so I think this is something that we need to jump on pronto.
So, Greg, what's the avenue we can use to get that approved this evening?
You could do it by motion.
Council, are you in agreement? Because we have discussed this for a number of months, and we know the urgent need and everything. I see nothing wrong with having a motion to approve the expenditure and getting it going this evening.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Yeah. We'll call the roll on this. Debbie, please call the roll.
Sure. Grindel?
Yes.
From Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
No.
Trakas?
Aye.
Ververka?
Yes.
Welchanowicz?
Yes.
The motion passes 6-1, and Mayor, this way we can get going on that project so there's no time restrictions and no problem. Because it isn't something out of the blue. I mean, we've been known about this for a good while.
If it's not out of the blue, it should have been on the agenda. It should have been. Yeah. Get it properly to council. This is not the right way to do business, and
yep.
Get that it's an unusual situation, but we got to be better than this as a group.
Yeah, well, we got new people and we had home days. We got a lot going on. All I ask is council to consider it. If you didn't want to vote for it, you didn't have to. So, but thank you for your consideration, council.
By full of trust, Ron, you're just on a board here and everything. We're in between service regulars, so this won't be the norm, Ken, I can see your point, but it'll be an exception that we need it, because if we postpone it and don't have it done until November and some of the salt gets ruined and everything else, then we're wasting taxpayers' money too. The process should be better.
It's on state term schedule, so there's not like you have to go out and bid it, so.
Correct.
I don't know if anybody has gone back there to look at it, but I looked at it a couple months ago and it's bad. So any salt that we have delivered there, and if it rains or anything, it's going to ruin salt. So
yep. We'll be in good shape. Hopefully that they'll be able to match up the timetable. And so I do appreciate council's consideration of this. Like I said, if it wasn't just this afternoon, I wouldn't have done it by saying, hey, we got a council meeting and we can see what the temperature. So I appreciate the support and help, and we'll continue to get better. Welcome, Ron.
Oh, thank you.
Say
welcome, Ron.
Thank you. And truly welcome. Behalf of council, welcome, Ron. We'll be enjoying. I know Dale will be looking forward to working with you on the Streets and Sidewalks Committee, as well as some of the other committee work. And we know nothing but improvement and good things will come out of your department. So
absolutely.
Welcome.
That's where we're headed.
Very good. Well, Mayor, yeah. I
Dale.
Noticed it's
Dale.
Dave.
Oh, Dale. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, Dale.
Yeah. I just want to make a comment. You know, obviously the salt situation and the opportunity and the timing does make some sense. But I want to express big concern about the amount of legislation that we're getting very late. We were making efforts and strides towards getting a big chunk of the legislation about 9 or 10 days before we needed to deal with it. And, you know, this time it was extremely difficult, even getting legislation within 20 hours of the meeting. So I it would just be my hope that we could get back on the early schedule. I realize there are intervening circumstances on some things, but the fact that we really didn't have legislation, any legislation a week ago, was definitely creates a difficult situation. So I just want to be on record to say that.
Yep, so noted, and I appreciate your understanding of the fact that there's a lot of moving target. You're going to probably see a lot more of this because the world's moving at a faster pace than it used to be, and some of these things are time sensitive, and some things we're waiting for vendors, we're waiting for people to respond, whether it be professional or legal or companies trying to respond, trying to get not only information, but we're also trying to get the fact that they have inventory. There are certain elements out there that we find we bid it, we think we got something, and all of a sudden we find, oh yeah, we can't deliver it for 3 months. So a lot of different things. If you haven't personally bought anything of significance in the last couple months, appliances or anything else, you wouldn't understand what we're dealing with. If you have, then you fully are aware of some of the challenges that we have. And Dennis runs around in circles sometimes trying to catch his tail because he's lost, but he does a great job trying to put it all together. By the way, I just want to introduce Emily Thomas, the new Community Services Director who joined us. And for those of you that have not met Ron McKinley, our new Service Director, you know, we've had, between deaths and COVID and people retiring, we've had a number of opportunities to hire new people, and we're excited about this. We've got a dynamic team, and I'll say this. This is, if last weekend is any indication as to the talent that we have on board in this city, the talent we're bringing on board relative to the success of Home Days, I don't know what else I can do for you, because we have some very talented people, and the bar is continually being raised. And last weekend was an example of how seamlessly this group works together. And I do appreciate Council's support in terms of finances. Finance Director has been awesome in terms of making sure this works, but it still takes an army of people and the department heads, and to make sure that we're legal, we're safe, and the creativity is amazing to me. So I can't say enough about the team independence and the efforts that they put through some of these events. And so I do appreciate Council's consideration with things don't always, we don't always meet milestones or dates. We do as a team, though. We win because our residents benefit from all the different advantages that your team independence provides for them. And last weekend was a perfect example, so thank you. Okay, there's my report.
Thank you, Mayor. And welcome, Emily, too. I forgot. Your name has always been obscured by that says live transcription, everything, so I wasn't able
thank
to determine.
You.
So, but welcome aboard. We look forward to working with you for many years ahead, and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. I look forward to working with you all as well.
Very good. Well, Mayor, I think that it's almost 7 o'clock, so I'll turn the meeting over to you.
And the clock just went off in my room. If you don't think that's significant, whenever I do my Swift Reach calls, if you're halfway through a call, a recording, and the clock goes off, well, guess what you do? You start again. So, yes, but thank you, Vice Mayor. Thank you, Council. Let's get right into the regular meeting of Council of August 10th, 2021. Clerk will call the roll.
Grindel?
Here.
Capusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Trakas?
Present.
Vavrka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
And we have Pastor Michelle Thompson of the Rockside Church here to give us her blessing. Thank you.
Good.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks so much again, always, for the privilege to join you guys for a little bit and just offer our prayers. We pray for you guys beyond just these moments. I know the other churches and independents do too. So just thank you guys again for all that you do in leading our community well. So I want to just read a couple scriptures before I say a quick prayer for us tonight. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. And then Proverbs 18, 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The righteous run into him and are safe. And so let's pray tonight as you guys gather. Father, we pray tonight for your love and for your compassion to abound as we continue to walk through this challenging season that we find ourselves in. Father, may peace and unity be felt among our community in this time that continues to feel so divided. Father, we ask for wisdom for those who bear the load of making decisions with widespread consequences. God, give them grace, give them wisdom. Father, we pray for those who are suffering with sickness and all those who are caring for them. We thank you, Lord, for our healthcare workers and our first responders, for their daily sacrifice to serve and protect our community and beyond. Father, we pray for those who are suffering with COVID and the after effects of this virus. Father, we pray your grace and your healing continue to surround them. Father, we ask for protection for our elderly and our most vulnerable. We pray that fear would not take hold in the hearts and minds of people, but your peace would give grace and come over hearts and communities. As we exercise the good sense that you have put in our hearts, may we also approach each day in faith and peace, trusting in the truth of your goodness. So, Father, we pray strength, we pray courage and wisdom for our mayor and for his team. Father, may they walk out in peace and comfort and unity and compassion. And so, Lord, we just give you this meeting. I thank you for the wisdom that comes from this team, and I pray your grace and your mercy over all of them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Thompson. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us for sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States
of America, and to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have the motion to approve the regular meeting council minutes of July 13th, 2021, the special council meeting minutes of July 27th, 2021, and the Utilities and Sewers Committee meeting of July 27th, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? They're adopted. The reports will be submitted, and my report is like pretty much what I just got done saying a few minutes earlier about how we're so blessed to have this Home Days event and with the movement to Elmwood Park was monumental in terms of the effort it took by every department, each and every department, and the employees that put this together. We're so blessed to have a great leadership team. I would be remiss if I didn't thank Dar Malata, my executive assistant, for holding the ropes and the reins, and all the department heads who went out of their way, and the employees who went out of their way to make this a phenomenal event. I heard a lot of positive comments from the residents, and kids were enjoying themselves, and even the weather couldn't dampen our spirits. So I can't say enough about the effort that went into and all the different support that council gives financing these arrangements at all the different department heads. I also want to announce some changes in the Community Services Department. Emily Thomas as the as I mentioned earlier, the city's new community services director, and she replaces the late Marilyn Sinek. Emily comes to us from the Cavaliers, where she was a senior manager, community relations and player programs manager. So welcome again, Emily. And Amber Viverka has been promoted to assistant community services director. She'll be involved with facilitating community events, programs, and departmental operations. She'll also oversee the city's grant writing initiatives. And Jennifer Zist-Vitron will join the city next month as community resources manager. Jennifer is a licensed social worker with more than 20 years of direct service and experience working with the youth, individuals, and families. Currently, Jen serves as director of programs for Adoption Network Cleveland. Can't say enough. I know that Councilwoman Boost has been very sensitive and been very important to this community in terms of her support for community services and all the different things that the programs we operate out of and programs. And I know she still gets calls. And so, Kathleen, hopefully this releases you from some of that burden.
Thank you.
So I know that when you and Emily get together, you're going to have you'll spend more time thinking about what you've got, your professional secrets and sharing with them. But Emily, Councilwoman Caboose has been a tremendous resource, and she'll be a tremendous resource for you because people still call her. Well, actually, they'll call you, and they'll call Amber, and then they'll call Jen. So it'll be a nice transition period. And also we have the grand, the opening, the ribbon cutting next week, August 17th for CBiz and Welty. So that's going to be an exciting partnership that we're moving forward on that. And hopefully between now and then, the lawyers will get the paperwork ready and we'll be able to be on track. So that's all I have for my report, and everything else will be submitted. We have ordinance for legislation. We'll get right into it. We have ordinance 2021-56.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance establishing the Home Improvement Assessment Public-Private Partnership Program for the purposes of assisting city residents to maintain and assure properties remain in compliance with the codified ordinances, including but not limited to, for stormwater management, creek maintenance, and sewer maintenance, as amended.
Move the adoption.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Viverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And it's adopted. Let's see. Do we go to the consent agenda, or do we go to the individual next one that's first reading?
Consent agenda.
Yep.
Well, the approval of the consent agenda, items are considered routine. Each item will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. Discussion by council is desired on any consent agenda item, the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered in its normal sequence under the regular order of business. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Please read the consent agenda.
Ordinance 2021-108, an ordinance amending Chapter 13 Building Code of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence to reduce residential construction-related nuisances and restrict noise. Ordinance 2021-111, an ordinance accepting the proposal of CBiz Insurance Services, Inc. for professional insurance broker services for the purchase of property, inland marine, crime, and automobile insurance for the city, Revision 1. Ordinance 2021-112, an ordinance authorizing the retention of Travelers Property Casualty Company of America for insurance underwriting services for the purchase of property, automobile, inland marine, equipment, crime, and cyber insurance 2021-2022. Ordinance 2021-113, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to accept the material terms of the One Ohio Subdivision Settlement pursuant to the One Ohio Memorandum of Understanding, consistent with the terms of the July 21st, 2021 National Opioid Settlement, and to sign the One Ohio Subdivision Participation Form and declaring an emergency. Ordinance 2021-114, an ordinance accepting the proposal of Energy Harbor for the purchase of electricity for all city properties, Revision 1. Ordinance 2021-115, an ordinance authorizing the hiring of J.F. Lentzowitz & Associates to provide labor relations, consulting, and negotiation services.
I have a motion to suspend the rules on the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Questions on adoption of the consent agenda? Call the roll.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
And the consent agenda is adopted. We have ordinance 2021-105.
Title only.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the city to enter into an agreement to purchase real property owned by Envision Development One LLC located adjacent to Rockside Woods Boulevard North and declaring an emergency, Revision One.
And that will remain on first reading, and then we will have a once the documents are forwarded to council, we'll call a special council meeting. We have ordinance 2021-106.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the city to enter into an agreement with Rockside Woods Visibility LLC to sell real property owned by the city located adjacent to Rockside Woods Boulevard North and declaring an emergency.
And that will remain on first reading. Once the final documents in order, we will call a special council meeting. Thank you very much. We have ordinance 2021-107.
Ben Lonely.
Second. Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the mayor to renew the city's agreement with MediCount Management, Inc. for billing services for emergency medical services.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Nay.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2021-109.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance amending Chapter 618 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence relating to animals keeping chickens.
Second, remain on first?
First reading. Correct.
First
yes.
reading, correct. Okay, we have ordinance 2021-110.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing an increase in the amount of funds allocated to the retention of Mazanic Raskin and Ryder Company LPA for professional legal services.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
No.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
No.
And it's adopted. And I believe that finishes our agenda this evening.
What is it?
Any other questions?
When we voted on the salt item in caucus, is that appropriate, Mr. O'Brien, or does that need to be re-voted in the actual council meeting?
Well, yes, it's appropriate. You call it a caucus. It's a meeting of city council. We choose to identify it as a caucus, but in the eyes of the law under our charter, it's a meeting of city council. And so you can take any official action you deem appropriate as long as it receives sufficient number of votes.
Okay, thank you.
If you'd like to do it in the regular council meeting for any reason or no reason, that can be done as well.
Any other questions? Well then, let's see, we're going to entertain a motion to go into executive session for legal, real estate, personnel issues. There will be no action taken after the executive session. So this time I did entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And I want to thank those that took the time to participate in tonight's meeting. I thank all my department heads and the city personnel for participating. And again, thank you all for your efforts this past week. And it was phenomenal. I really appreciate it. We were safe. People felt safe. They had a lot of fun. And I guess I screwed up a little bit, didn't bring 100% of the weather, but that was my job, so we'll try to get better. Just like with legislation, I'll try to get better.
Getting old, Mayor.
I keep working on it.
Slipping.
You know what? I keep working on it. There's always room for improvement, right?
Let's put a dome over the park. We won't have to worry about weather.
Oh, you guys are tough on me. I'm tough. Team, thank you very much, and we'll adjourn to executive session. And we'll go from there.
Very good. See you in a few minutes.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
I'm sure members of council picked up that another link has been sent to you.
Uh-oh. Yes. We've seen it right.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
6, 7, 8,